if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Brother Bill, what is that? Five? Seven or eight, chapter 8. Verses 1 through two, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what God says. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, go in and out, or possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And Lord, we want your perfect will to be done in our life. Lord, we want to honor you with our lives. Lord, live for you. Lord, I just thank you for blessing this church. Lord, these are our family. And Lord, there's some that can't be with us today because they're in the hospital. Some are sick at home. Lord, many are traveling. Lord, wherever they might be today, Lord, we ask that your perfect will be done in their life, that you watch over them, protect them. We give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Moses is delivering his farewell address to Israel as it becomes one of the great nations of the world. And here in our text, and you can go on back to chapter 4 and forward, it talks about God telling them to keep the commandments of the Lord. Moses tells them over and over, keep the laws of God. Be strong in the Lord. Watch his commandments. Obey his commandments. And as fathers here today and your wives and your children, remember this. Always obey God's word. Study God's word. Hide his word in your heart, in your mind. Let it be a part of your everyday life. That's what God wants. And I believe our country has stood tall and strong these many years because our country has been built upon biblical precepts or the laws. And it's because they were taught in their homes as families taught one another. I can remember growing up, the Bible being taught in our home. Our pastor was no stranger to our home on Sunday evening. I was just thinking the other day, we had a lot of mouths to feed, but Daddy would always invite the pastor over and his wife, and they would come by and visit with us on Sunday evening. And, you know, I don't know how Mom stretched that chicken so far, but, you know, she did. God blessed, and we had all kinds of good old country food like chicken and gravy and homemade biscuits. And, you know, you could make a meal off of that. Butter bean and cornbread, purple hull peas. Man, I'm getting hungry already. But you know, we had a strong family, and I believe it's because my father and my mother wanted the words of God taught in their home. And America is or has been a Christian nation in the sense that she was founded upon Christian principles. So this morning I want us to take us back and draw on some of these great principles and God's words that we find here in the Word of God from our past that has made our nation and made our homes great homes. And one of them is found in chapter 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. In other words, he says, listen, Moses is addressing the people and he says, if you want God to continue to bless you, you must obey the commands of the Lord your God. And not only that, you must walk in his ways and reverence him. Stand tall with God, in other words, dwelling today, not on the laws of God so much, but the law itself as a nation. We must turn back to God if we're going to prosper. A friend of mine is having a new concept in his church where fathers are teaching their children, teaching their family. As part of the Sunday school, each time fathers sit down with their kids in their Sunday school class, their children, and teach them the ways that God would want them to live. And you know, we have to have the right laws and the right prospects or the punishments for those lawbreakers if our nation is to survive. And we as parents are to instill, we are to instill in the hearts of our children the knowledge that some things are right and some things are wrong, and if you make wrong choices, you will pay painful consequences. Now, we've left that out. Somewhere down the line, let me tell you something, we knew what it was to bear the marks upon our body when we made wrong choices and did painful things. We were taught to treat the authority with respect. There was no way that I would say yep to an adult. You would pick yourself up off the ground if you said that. It was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And what we see in America today, in our home today, is a failure to teach respect for God and his ways in our life. You know, the Bible tells us in our lives there are civil laws, and we know that you just don't yell fire in a crowded area unless there is a fire. We know that it's not right to go out and kill someone innocent. We know that it's not right to steal. We were taught those things in our homes, in our family. You know, someone can leave something out on the counter at a store or wherever. You didn't pick it up, walk off with it. You see, we never locked our home growing up because no one would steal. It was just a way of life. You didn't have to worry about anything being stolen. And it was the same way. We were taught somebody else's property, you do not take it. You don't steal it. We were taught the rights and wrongs of our social laws. We were taught to show kindness to our elders. We were taught courtesy in our lives. You know, we were taught so these things we could live in harmony with one another, not having to worry about somebody breaking in or stealing or hurting someone else. You just didn't do those things. There are things that you learn, like, you know what, if you make a mess, you clean it up. Boy, that's not taught anymore, is it? If you make a mess, let somebody else clean it up. We were taught you don't bite. You were taught we don't spit on one another. We teach our grandchildren, you know, you cover your mouth when you start to cough. I was even taught a very simple lesson. You don't pull a dog's tail either. He's going to bite. You see? We were taught those kind of things as we were growing up. And listen, we obeyed our parents. The Bible says, obey your parents. And with all these laws, there had to be consequences for breaking those. Nowadays, you know, you can break those laws and there's no consequences. I heard about a lawyer not long back was defending his boy for vandalizing someone's home. And he said he just made a mistake. And he thought tearing up somebody else's property, let me just pay for it. Well, that's the problem, you know. Everything else is somebody else's mistake. If I vandalize, and, you know, I don't know about you, but I made some bad mistakes growing up. I did vandalize somebody's home one time. His old house that was out there on some property, and had boys, it had been vacant for a long time, and we thought we'd just break out some windows. Don't do that. That is a bad decision. We were throwing some rocks, and we broke out some windows. And, my father set my soul afire. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I could not sit down for quite some time, you know. And then he made us. We didn't even know who it belonged to. But we found out. And then we had to go and apologize face to face. And then we had to pay for those window panes to be put back in that old house that probably wasn't going to ever be lived in. It was just the principle of the thing. That was the right thing to do. You see, that's the way we were taught. And boy, let me tell you something. Mr. Jones would pour it on when it come to those things. And by the time he got through with you, you knew you didn't want to do that no more. You didn't have to ask if it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You just didn't do that. You see, friends with no respect for other people's property, for no respect for others' lives, for no fear of the punishment or the consequences of wrong, we raise a rotten human being. And if you get enough rotten human beings, you have a rotten nation. And with a rotten nation, you end up with rotten people and rotten school systems and rotten churches and right on down the line till everything around smells rotten. And that's about the way it's smelling today. Amen or oh me. And it's because we have left God out of teaching those simple things like obey the commandments of God. That's where we've messed up. And then it says in chapter 4, verse 1, now Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, your Father, is giving you. And you shall not add to the word which I command, nor take from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord which your God I command you. There's another word there, and it's simply this word. Obey and work. Obey and work. God told Israel he was giving them the land, a land with milk and honey flowing, a land with streams, with barley growing, with vineyards. All of these are gift, but they're gift, and he says it's going to take hard work to keep it up. You see, in our something-for-nothing society that we live in, we must instill in our children today not only that we have a duty, but the privilege of work. Hey, you know what? I got to go to work when I enjoyed it. I got to go to work when I was really less than, back then you had to be 13 before you could earn any money. I got to go to work when I was 11. I got to go out in the fields and pick tomatoes. Brother Jerry, I still like to pick tomatoes, but the heat bothers me now. Bending over seems a lot further than it did then, too. But you know, we got to go pick tomatoes, we got to go pick cucumbers and all those kind of good things and pack them and ship them. And it was a job that we could honestly work and buy stuff with. Daddy says, if you save your money, you know, and do things like that, then you can buy you something with it. That was instilled in his children. And every single one of them had that work ethic to work for what they got. In our society, we're raising a group of people who want everything for nothing. But let me tell you something. It doesn't work like that. Somebody has to pay. Life does not give you everything on a silver platter. But yet, we've got a group of people that expect that today. Everything for nothing. And we need to tell them that the best helping hand that we could have today is not our government, is not our state. It's on the end of your arm. You see? We need to learn to know what work is. And folks, that starts in the home. It starts with a father and a mother who love God and are obedient to God, who will teach their children the laws of God at home. You know, I always heard this. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. If you want to make something of yourself, praise God, you live in a nation where you can do that. But it takes work. And what young people call finding themselves, I've had that word thrown at me several times. Well, preacher, my kid is just still out there finding himself. My grandmother called that a bum. Yeah, she said, that's no more than a bum. He's out there loafing around on somebody else's dollar. And you know, nobody ever climbed a hill but just standing back and looking at it. You've got to work. So parents today, fathers today, teach your children. Don't give them everything they want. Teach them to work for it. Teach them to obey the words of God. Obey the things in our society. And then another one is Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You see, hard is a way of life, isn't it? While Moses was preaching to the assembly, there's 10 nations out there. Those 10 nations, each one of them were stronger than Israel. Yet God wanted them to possess the land. So God gave them raging rivers to cross. He gave them wilderness to wander. Why? He was preparing them for the hardness of the land. Yes, I'm going to give it to you. It's a gift, but it's just not there. You've got to work, and you've got to work hard. You've got to, because anything that's worthwhile is hard. You don't make it to the top of the ladder by not doing anything. It's hard work. You know, something else Daddy taught me. We had to pick up rocks. I don't know why East Texas had so many rocks. There were rocks everywhere. And when you go out to the plow the field, he was always busting up rocks. And he'd say, son, y'all go through that field. I guess he had so many boys. Y'all go through that field and pick up all the rocks and throw them outside where we're not going to be planting. And I thought, you know, rocks lie on top of the ground. I wish they were silver and I wish they were gold. Then I'd be rich. But you know what? Silver and gold don't lie on top of the ground, just rocks. Easy things. It requires an effort to get silver. It requires an effort to get gold. By word and example, we must teach our kids perseverance. Keep on keeping on, you see. Hard work doesn't hurt a person. My dear old grandmother was 85 when she died. She worked every day of her life. I tell you the story. I got it on tape. She took care of her mom and dad died down in Laredo. when they were down there, she caught a wagon train. Back then they had wagon trains. She caught a wagon train to San Marcos. She worked, she was only 13 years old, with a brother and a sister, little brother and sister, following her. She got all the way back to Recklaw, Texas, and met my grandpa. And there she got married at the ripe old age of 15. Man, she worked hard every day of her life. But she saw to it that her brother and her sister had clothes to wear and food to eat. And she would tell you today, God is a wonderful working God. Man, it takes perseverance in our life. You know, I read an article the other day. It showed a picture of the ark and all the animals going on the ark. And guess what was in that picture? Two snails. Man, let me tell you, they didn't reach that ark easily, did they? They had to persevere. They had to watch out. They had to crawl a long ways. And the article was, you reckon we're going to get stepped on? You see, so many people in life want to step on you. So many people want to jump over you to end up where you are. But don't give up. Don't quit. Work. Work hard. You know, perseverance is sticking to something when it's really not stuck on you. That's work. It's hard work. You must do that. Obey God's word. Work, and then work hard in life. And the last thing I want to tell you as a father, pray. Pray. This is the foundation of everything, folks. Bible says pray. It was God who called Israel out of Egypt. It was God who delivered them from Pharaoh. It was God who gave them the land. It was God who blessed them in the land. But they were to pray. They were to seek God's face. And Jesus says, I want you to pray and pray and keep on praying. Folks, we need prayer in our families. We need prayer in our churches. We just come to a Bible study on prayer. We know how to pray, but a lot of times we forget, don't we? We forget that prayer is hard work because the devil wants to take it away from us. And parents, let me challenge you to get with your children and pray with them. Our constitution begins with God. Our pledge says we're one nation under God. Our coins read, in God we trust. Yet in our schools, we're not allowed to talk about God as the creator of this universe. We're talking about that it comes from evolution. Folks, prayer comes first. We must pray that God will give us back that one nation under God. It's only going to be taught in our homes. We tell our kids, well, you're only a little higher order than the animals. And you know, we're surprised when they act like animals. I'm not surprised at the killings that happened in Orlando. You know, I'm not surprised today what goes on in our nation. The Bible says we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. One of our men in Texas said that we reap what we sow, and they criticized him for that. But you know what? He's only saying what God's word says. And he wasn't lambasting anybody. He was just quoting what God's word says. Every time God's word is quoted, you have people that say we're hate mongers. We do things like that out of hating people. Christians, I don't hate people. I love people. But I do tell them what God's word says. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to tell you my call into the ministry and preaching of the word is what God says do. You see, somebody said, what is your opinion on this preacher? My opinion is just like the wind, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's what God's word says. Tell them that they are created in the image of God and that they will live forever if they put their faith in Christ. It is our duty as fathers, it is duty as our homes to teach our children positively. Yes, love people, but teach them also negatively in that we are also responsible for the choices that we make. We pay the price. To God, some things are everlastingly right and some are everlastingly wrong. And God is not so indifferent that he's on the side of right and he will punish those wrongdoers. You see, he will punish those wrongdoers here and in the hereafter. Teach God redemptively in your homes as fathers. I hope your parents values God as much as my parents do. But children, you know what? We're free to make our own mistakes. We're free to disobey. We're free to choose our own values. But we also have to realize that when we do that, we pay the consequences. You pay the consequences. You know, I knew deep down inside when I threw that first rock at that pain that that was wrong. It had been instilled in me. You don't destroy somebody else's property. But the old devil comes along and he says, you know, that's old. It doesn't matter. It's going to fall down anyhow. Have a little fun. But deep down inside, we know that it's wrong. And praise God, because of God's love, when we do wrong, he said, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you. And you know what? I had a dad that was just as hard as nails when it come to correcting you. But I also knew that no matter what I did, at the end of the day, he was still going to love me. Love your children. Let them know that. You know, there's a Bible story in Luke 15 that tells of the prodigal son. He did everything wrong, didn't he? He took his father's inheritance, or his inheritance, he said. It really wasn't his inheritance. His father hadn't died, but he took it. His father gave it to him. He went out and wasted it all. And he's about as low in life as a Jewish person could be. But then, and all of that hog pen and all the slime and all the dirt and all the wrongness in his life, he decided to go home. He decided to go home. And his father forgave him and welcomed him back. You know what? We have a heavenly father that no matter what we've done in life, no matter what wrong choices, if we will come back to him, he is ready to forgive us and welcome us and put us back on the right path. You see, God hates sin, but the Bible says he loves the sinner so much that he gave his son to die on the cross, that you can have everlasting life. And like the prodigal son, no matter what we've done, if we'll come to God, he'll forgive us. I don't know if you're a parent that's been a bad parent or not. I don't know if you pray with your children or not. But you can start today. It's not too late to start. All you have to do is say, God, I want to put you in the center of my life today. Now, fathers, it's your day. You want to make a great day of it, you honor God with your life. If you want to make a bad choice, you say no. But let me tell you something. If you say no, sooner or later, you will pay the consequence. And all else, when we let our children go, you know, that's something else. We had to go. When I left home on my own to get married and raise my family, Dad didn't tell us how to do it. He didn't tell us how to raise our children. He said, you are on your own now. But if you need my advice, if you need my help, you know, all I had to do was ask. I knew he was there. We let him go. But we always leave the door that if they need our help, they'll feel free to ask us. You know, God lets us go. He lets us make our decisions. Make the right ones. Make the right ones. Choose life. Choose love. Obey. Work. Work hard. And pray. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these fathers. Lord, I pray that you will instill in every one of them the challenge to teach their children the right things in life to do. To love you, to seek your face, to live for you. And Lord, at the end of the day, may they just give their children to you that they might have life. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, today they may call upon you. We give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.